Welcome back to the Dime Gaming Bros podcast. I am still a little sicky icky. Jacob is also a little sicky icky.
He shared it with me.
I probably did. I'm so sorry, but I'm not sorry.
Meh. It happens.
So we both sound a little cooler today.
I have a man voice now. Just kidding. I think I have like a 13-year-old voice because my voice is definitely cracking.
I am Spencer. Jacob is Jacob.
Yep.
On this show, we talk about video games and stuff.
Sometimes. Most of the time.
Definitely most of the time. To dive right back into space and blood and guts, I played Dead Space 3.
Whoa.
Yeah, whoa, I know. I said I was going to do it, and then I did it. And to boot, because I'm special, I actually completed my second playthrough.
Oh my gosh.
Mega fast speed, man. So Dead Space 3 is, I think, about 6 months to a year after the events of Dead Space 2. Isaac Clarke is living, I don't even remember where, on a random planet. I mean, it's Earth. It's definitely Earth. I'm stupid. He's living on Earth in a shithole by himself. He's all depressed because Ellie, the lady that he met in the second game, that there was clearly a romantic thing between them during the game, they definitely dated for a while, and it didn't work out very well, and Isaac is all sad about it. He's doing the whole looking longingly at a photo out a window and then tearing it in half. He's being an emo boy. Clearly, just the relationship didn't work out very well, probably because Isaac is fucking insane, you know, probably that. He gets forcefully recruited by the last remnant of EarthGov to fight off what is apparently like a mass, I don't know what to call it, some sort of basically jihad by Unitology, being led by a very forgettable lead guy, which is a big diss to this game. They're trying to take over Earth. There's just a war going on outside, right outside his window, and Isaac is all, I don't care. I want to pay my rent and do nothing.
Dude, same.
Yes, but he doesn't even do anything. He's all just sad and drinks whiskey. Like, literally,
dude,
the first shot, like, pans down to his desk. There's a bottle of whiskey and a bunch of old photos, and the lighting's dramatic, and it's like, oh, dear, this is going to be a melodrama story, isn't it? And it is. The plot mostly consists of Isaac going on this mission to primarily find Ellie. Ellie is a agent for like super secret EarthGov stuff, and she was on a mission to go discover a thing to blow up a marker or whatever. It's a little. This one gets really in the weeds. So he gets forced on this mission. They go find Ellie while running away from Unitology. They go to a planet whose name I don't remember, and it's thought to be the home planet of the markers, where they came from. Are you okay with spoilers?
Sure.
It's an old enough game. I figure I could just do the whole thing.
Yep.
And it turns out that the world is not actually, later on in the game, you find out that this is not the homeworld of the markers. It's another planet that fell to the markers, because the markers are even older and even more spooky from somewhere else that's never explained. So this is a random snow planet that, you know, has aliens on it and stuff. And it's another culture that fell susceptible to the markers' influence. So you are simultaneously running away from the army of Unitology, who are trying to do convergence through plot-related reasons. I swear I played this game twice, and a lot of these details are still pretty fuzzy, and I really tried to pay attention. So there's that, and then the story on the background, I guess, of it is, turns out that one of the lead army guys from EarthGov that doesn't like you and is mad is Ellie's new boyfriend, and that's one of the reasons why he's on this mission to find her. So there's a love triangle and a lot of melodrama about, but what if we went back together and we could make it work? And then the army guy is like, I'm a douchebag and I hate you. Like, that's his whole persona. Along the way, you meet Carver, who, if you play co-op, is the secondary protagonist. I only played this single player, so I don't know much about him. He is a blank slate, basically. They give him a little bit of characterization through cutscenes. He had lost his family. I don't know if it was to unitology, or it's pretty vague, but he's all guilt-ridden and he has demons to face and stuff. He just kind of appears randomly throughout the game, which is also a big criticism. This game was definitely designed to be played co-op, so playing it single player means that there's probably 25% of it that you just don't have access to, and a lot of that would be like Carver's entire personality and story. Not that I've heard there's much there, but it's just all not there. Like, there's nothing for you to really grab onto. He's just there, and you have to infer through cutscenes. So yeah, you go to space, you go on a bunch of ships, you're trying to find Ellie, and that's about the first half, maybe first third of the game, is going on a bunch of old derelict ships, which is actually really, really cool setting-wise. So there are two primary settings for the game. One is in space and on old ships that are hundreds of years old that encountered the marker before the first time, and they're pretty fucking cool. There are old versions of technology that you'd be familiar with from playing the games, like, say, for instance, doors. A lot of the doors, instead of you pressing A or whatever corresponding button to open up the, you know, the hollow screen that's on the door to open it up and you go through, you have to use your kinesis to turn the crank like it's a fucking submarine, which gets really annoying after a while, but it's a really neat detail. Like, the ships are actually pretty well designed as very old Earth tech.
It's not the only crank getting turned on a submarine.
So true. Seaman. Like, it's still futuristic for us, but they do a really good job of making these ships seem old for where the Dead Space universe is. It has kind of that Halo-ism where it's like, why is this 500 years in the future, but we're still using, like, projectile ammunition thing? It's neat. On those ships, you encounter necromorphs, big surprise. They are different for a bunch of different reasons. The same archetypes mostly apply. You have, like, the scorpion guy, the Leaper, I think is the official name. You have the little demon babies with the tentacles.
Is it Leaper or Leper?
I think it's Leaper.
Okay.
Because they leap.
All right.
Pretty sure. You have your basic necromorph form, the grabby guy with the arms. You have the guardian, the guy stuck to a wall with tentacles coming out of his gut. Stuff like that. But they're all a little different because they're from the past. They've been sitting here, I guess, hibernating, basically, on these, like, abandoned ships. So they're, like, brown. Mostly. They're just dead. Like, they're very decayed, falling apart looking things, which is really cool in concept. And I think if you look at some of the designs, like if you look at the 3D render in a vacuum, they're pretty cool. But they end up really, really getting samey after a while because of they're brown. Like, it's a basic color palette problem, whereas in Dead Space 1, and to some extent Dead Space 2, they're red and purple, and they're very fleshy, they're very fresh bodies. Even if Dead Space 1, age-wise, is pretty rough, it's just harder to display decaying flesh, especially in Remake, it really showed, they're like, these are current, these corpses were cobbled together 5 minutes ago, whereas on these ships, these very old forms are decayed old crew members, and that's pretty cool. It just is a shame that they don't stick out as much. I don't know if it would be better to, if it's necessarily a problem with the designs themselves, if they could have done a different shade, if it's a lighting problem potentially, but they just kind of look the same. Leapers especially, they have their, like, the upgraded form where they are, like, blackish. That's all of them now for some reason. I don't know if it's the gameplay-wise, if they have the same stats as the typical upgraded Leaper, but they just look like that now, which is cool. They're, like, black and have glowing eyes, but also it makes them just kind of hard to fight because when they're thrashing around, it blends in with the environment a little too much, and I don't think that that's an intentional thing. It makes gameplay a little bit more difficult. Also, a pretty big addition gameplay-wise, especially the first half of the game on these ships, is old crew members. They're basically zombies, which I don't like. There's this really neat idea that, like, silhouette-wise, they actually look pretty similar to your typical necromorph because they all have axes. Like, because they're, like, miners. It's a very dumb aesthetic thing. So they're just basically zombies that run at you. They fight very similar to Necromorphs. They don't jump as much. But it's kind of a neat little idea to make them, like, dual-wield axes. So, like, they have the same kind of similar animations and stuff, which is, I think, kind of neat. I think they use them way too much. Like, in the game is way bigger and filled with way more Necromorphs. It is even more action heavy than two. The horror is almost entirely gone in terms of like presentation. It's still gross and icky, but they're not scary anymore. But I just think that they use them too much. I don't know why. It's just really, really, like, in the opening of the game, when you're trying to escape from Earth, there are all these crew members or, like, security guards or whatever that are getting converted into Necromorphs. I just don't know what the in-lore justification for it is, because typically they would turn into regular Necromorphs. Like, that's the process. When an infector, it goes, you know, the big bat sucky boy goes down on a corpse and then turns it into a Necromorph, they sprout their extra limbs and they do the whole thing. So I just don't know why they made that choice.
Maybe your choice to say goes down on a corpse wasn't the best.
No, I did that intentionally.
Okay.
Yeah, the sucky bat things. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. I think it was intended to add variety to gameplay, but I don't think it really helps very much. If anything, it feels like we're taking away from the horror of the Necromorphs because we're kind of just fighting humans for a large part of the game. In addition to that, especially in the opening and in the final act of the game, you fight a lot of Unitology soldiers. They're just guys with guns. They die pretty easily. They headshots kill them instantly. It's just they're there. They're like placeholders, which again makes sense because that's how humans die. But in a game that's focused, like, the big thing initially was like you got to shoot the limbs and not the head because it's like a unique gameplay mechanic. It does really detract from the experience because then you can just whip out the Gatling gun and just get. And they're dead. So it kind of takes away from that, which is lame. In the second half of the game, you encounter a bunch of alien Necromorphs, which are really fucking cool. The gameplay is almost identical. Like, animation-wise, it's pretty similar, which is a little lame, but the designs are really cool. This other species of whatever they are like, kind of like the creatures from A Quiet Place. What's the term? Not crustaceans. They have exoskeletons. What's the term for that? They're bony. The fleshy bits are inside the bones.
Yes.
Fuck. You know what I'm talking about, though. I don't remember the distinction, but, like, they're spindly, and they have big bone protrusions and stuff, and that's pretty cool. They look really cool. They're designed well. They provide a bit of a difference in gameplay. They do get a bit repetitive in design. I don't think they made enough variety of them, but they're a nice way to spice it up at the end because you're in the core of this alien planet trying to turn off the machine that'll make convergence happen everywhere or whatever.
My big bony protrusion will help spice it up at the end.
That's true. The end is also the beginning when it comes to you, though. Oh, wait, no, 3 seconds has a beginning, middle, and end. That's fair. Never mind. I was too harsh. So that's really cool. I think they're just designed really well. The little baby crawler thingies that have the tentacles that pop out of their backs in the whole game are actually these aliens. And you would know if you look at them carefully, they're not fetuses with tentacles. They look weird. I think it's just the age of the game makes it a little hard to tell what's going on with their design, but it's a cool setup, I guess, to the fact that there are other species in this game other than humans and Necromorphs. So I think that's pretty cool. The boss fights are shit. They're a lot. If Dead Space 2's boss fights were fine, Dead Space 3's are pretty shit. They're very, very repetitive. More repetitive than twos, even. There's a lot. There's an indestructible creature. I don't remember what it's called. I don't care. A big scorpion-type thing, big as a house. And you fight it, like, 5 or 6 times in this game, and it always runs off instead of dying until the end. The way you kill it is pretty cool. You use, like, a repelling, grappling, mining setup to rip it apart, which is pretty cool. But it's a...
Like Alien 3, kinda?
Sort of, yeah. like you lure it into a spot and then you shoot it with a harpoon and then you like crank the harpoon until it rips it limb from limb. It's pretty cool. But the actual boss fight is crap. You shoot the glowy orbs, but then it charges you, and then you have to dodge, and then you have to shoot the glowy orbs, and it sucks. It's not thought out very well, and its design is pretty crap. It just doesn't look interesting. So I like the split setting. The game length is a lot. It's too long, in my opinion, but I thought when we were leaving the ships in space in the first half, I was like, oh, the game is wrapping up. We're almost to the end. And it's like, boom, no, second setting, you're going to a snow planet. And it's a cool changeup. It makes the game have variety. It also really, 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 really tells you exactly where Callisto Protocol got every single part of it. It was from the end of Dead Space 3. Like, every aesthetic design choice from it being set on a snow planet is clearly trying to do Dead Space 3, but with better technology, which is commendable, even if it sucked. I guess it's weird. So yeah, the plot is pretty stupid. The twists and turns are just not very interesting from a lore perspective. It's very, I don't know. It's not engaging anymore. The threat in the first game was really well done, and in the second game, it does lose a little bit of its mystery, but it still maintains a level of ambiguity about the marker's origins and what Unitology is getting up to in the background, whereas this one is just Unitology is finally doing their jihad coup to take over the planet, and they want to do convergence everywhere. Their head leader guy is horribly bland as a head leader, a bad guy, religious zealot guy. It's boring. The story interpersonally between the characters could have been interesting about, like, lost love and, you know, screwing up relationships because of your own problems, not just growing apart, and like how that impacts a person. I think that some of that is very interesting, but they just kind of turn it into a melodrama and make it a love triangle for no real reason. I just find it very disengaging, and you know, what's supposed to still be a horror action game, it's a very bizarre element. So yeah, story and plot and characters are all pretty bland and flat and uninspired. There's definitely some background lore. Like, I think the big whiteboard with the yarn that they had when they made this was probably really interesting. Like, I want to read the Wikipedia, but I don't think it makes it engaging in the actual game. There's a massive shit ton of text and audio logs, and they're all pretty unengaging on that front.
Jedi Survivor has been awful for that. Like, I finally hit halfway yesterday, and, like, oh my gosh, it's, like, 600 entries at, like, halfway.
Woof.
It's been terrible. I've been meaning to look up, like, how many there actually are.
Eesh. So, yeah, I think it was definitely thought out well ahead of time, but in combination with some other things that I'll get to in a minute, I think it got lost in translation, and I think probably what the publisher wanted this game to be differed from what the devs wanted, and maybe the devs just had some bad ideas that they should have hammered out some more. It was also rushed out pretty quickly after Dead Space 2, from what I can tell. The graphical differences are pretty minimal. There's definitely more texture and more lighting. The lighting was definitely a big upgrade, but there's a lot of asset reuse as well. I think that might be one of the reasons why they have you go on ships, is because they can reuse like the skeletons of the previous locations pretty much. There's a lot of repeated locations in the spaceships that you go to. There's multiple spots where I'm like, I swear I've been in this corridor before, or this like radio communications room, and I'm on a different ship than I was before. Like, it gets a little samey, which is kind of sad, because it is a really cool setting of like all these old derelict falling apart ships that nobody's been on in like 200 years. The snow planet sections get extremely linear, which I don't appreciate. It just gets a lot less interesting with how all that progresses. There's a lot of rappelling sections in the third act, or the end of the second act, and I fucking hate them. One, the camera angle is skewed. So, you know, big gamer problem. You know, when you do a section and like a cutscene, like an interactive cutscene, and the camera angle is facing one way, and when you don't know whether you should use the thumbsticks to point the character in the direction where they're facing or where the camera's facing. And I have that problem in the repelling sections. Whereas you should be using the controls from Isaac's perspective, but the camera is Dutch angled and off to the side. So, like...
This is weird because you love Dutch angles.
In movies, when yes. they're useful, but not in gameplay. It's annoying. I think it's partially intended to give you some of the scope of what you're climbing and so you can see obstacles ahead of time, but it really, really detracts from the experience. It's just really janky. The loading animation for getting the rappelling system up is obnoxious and takes forever. It's unskippable. The way you have to jump over like holes in the walls and stuff just barely works. The amount of times I had to redo rappelling sections or I rage quit on them is high. I think it's the only part of the game where I would end my session in a bad mood was doing that. The rest of it was pretty milquetoast, but those sections pissed me off royally. The only, I guess, exception to that is the final one. Instead of rappelling up, you're rappelling down very quickly. It's a chase sequence, and you have to shoot necromorphs while you're going down the wall. I think that one works a lot better, just because I think it's more gracious with like its hitboxes and like foot detection on the wall. It just feels more polished. Like I said earlier, presentation-wise, most of the horror is gone. There's a handful of really crappy jump scares, like there's one right in the beginning of the game that's just dumb. A lot of the psychological elements have been removed, partially because Isaac is supposed to not be like completely cuckoo crazy. He's just supposed to be depressed and stupid. And that's, I like that. That was one of the things about Dead Space I loved. What it does both. It has physical horror. It has cosmic horror. It has physical horror, and it has psychological stuff. And Dead Space 2 retained a lot of it, even if it had less, I would say, of the eldritch horror. There's a lot less of that. 3, there's no real hallucinations or flashbacks or anything like that that stick out, which is lame. That's something I really liked about the first game, and I did appreciate that 2 stuck with it for the most part, especially because the final battle of 2 is like basically a hallucination sequence that you fight. It's just weird. I think the primary reason for that is because in the end of Dead Space 2, you basically kill Nicole in your mind, which means that you no longer are traumatized by that, but I just think that makes 3 have less material to work with. I think that they should have come up with some good impetus for that. Isaac is necessary because, you know, he's the destroyer of the markers and whatever. He has all these keys in his head, but they don't really show them off in any interesting ways, especially from a horror angle. He's just kind of there. And he's pretty passive in terms of plot stuff, which is impressive, especially in comparison to Dead Space Remake, where they make him an extremely active protagonist, where he's like, go here, do this, fuck you, I'm gonna do this. And I think 2 has a decent level of that, but 3 is like very... He feels passive in Dead Space 1 because he's a hollow person, and that's the gameplay mechanic. In 3, he has a persona, and they just don't use it. So it feels insulting, I think is a good way to put it. Gunplay-wise, it's fine. It's the issues with 2 that I have, where it feels like the enemies are a lot more damage spongy, and the weapons are a lot less unique, are just kind of more like kill the enemy focused, is increased here dramatically. There is a gunsmithing system, which I think is an interesting idea, but I don't think it works very well, whereas you only have 2 weapon spots now, and you can combine weapons to have an upper and a lower weapon or tool, so you can have a plasma cutter with a bolt shooter, or a ripper with a shotgun, which is cool, but it does pretty much require that the game has universal ammunition for everything, which it does, and that makes it kind of, it doesn't encourage me to use different weapon types. I think it's intended to, but it does the opposite. It just means I stick with what works and I use it for everything. the only real time I change my weapons is if I find something really interesting and new, and then I test it out. Or if I just, I force myself to use something different. My primary combination for both playthroughs was a plasma cutter with a flamethrower, or a plasma cutter with an like a bolt projectile. I don't remember what it's called. And then my other weapon was either a machine gun or a shotgun with a sub of like an electrical charge, like dart. And I use that for like the whole fucking game both times. I barely changed it. The upgrade system is very overhauled as well for weapons. There's a bunch of different chips that you can find around the world. Some of them are worth more than others, where it's like +3 damage, +3 damage, +1 clip, stuff like that. And they barely feel any different. It's minutia. I think that that was a dumb idea. I get the idea. I don't think that this is a game series where that was a good idea. I think the traditional upgrade system that they have with the very basic regular node upgrades for 1 and 2, and definitely in Remake, is a really good system. I don't think that this was a good idea. This is a really big deviation, and it just turns it into an action game. You have either your pistol that goes big boom, or you have your machine gun that goes ba 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 ba. Like, and you shoot enemies in the same way, and it just kind of, it makes it very meh. It blends together a lot. Also, in presentation, the soundtrack is really good, but it's used pretty poorly. Same problem with 2 to an extent. It just, the tracks are really cool. They're very grandiose when you encounter, you know, a new monolith or whatever, and sometimes they're kind of spooky, but they're just not utilized well. They don't transition very well between each other. It rapidly changes tone very quickly between cutscene and action and stuff like that. It does have a banger of an end credit song, though, to be fair, so that was pretty cool. The gunsmithing system also introduces microtransactions. 2 already had plenty of them. They were mostly new skins or new gun parts. It wasn't great, but I didn't feel like it was really cheating me out of anything. Dead Space 3's store is huge. The amount of upgrades that are locked behind it, unique weapon blueprints, it's bad. If you act like it's not there, the game still plays fine, but it's really hard to ignore it when every time you load the game up, it asks you to put in your code to access the online features, like every time, and the servers aren't up anymore, so the fuck. That's dumb. Again, also requires an online pass. Like, you have to pay to play online co-op. The fuck. I'm assuming couch co-op works fine. I have no knowledge of that. At some point, I would like to do couch co-op. I think it would be fun to do those side missions with Jacob.
Yeah, we were gonna last weekend, but it didn't work.
Yeah, like, I do think that there is definitely value in that. And I don't think making it a co-op game is inherently a bad idea. But I think... I think you should have done the... Make it, it's Isaac Clarke 1 and Isaac Clarke 2. Don't do the, we need a new character, but we don't have time to develop them or anything. Just, there's just magically 2 Isaac Clarkes, deal with it. Like, I feel like that's a better system for a lot of games, and I think that would be fine, you know? Just, there's two Master Chiefs in the room. Who cares? The end of the game is ambiguous and not in a very positive way. It's very... We're going to do our final sacrifice, but maybe we're not actually dead shit, because Isaac has nothing to live for, blah, blah, blah. It just, I think it really doesn't handle it well, because the rest of the game has been so melodramatic with a lot of its events, it just doesn't land very well. I wouldn't mind it in, like, an ideal world if, you know, the third game, Isaac finds meaning outside of his mental illness and his trauma and is like, I'm going to save the universe. But, like, I don't think that's a bad idea, but just, this game has no real depth to justify it. Yeah. Big L on... Oh, wait, real quick. Upgrades for your rig are fine. They function pretty similar to the first two games, but the rigs themselves are all ugly as fuck. When you finally unlock like the legacy like Dead Space 1 rig, it looks good, it functions fine, but that I believe is unlocked on New Game Plus or some arbitrary collect most of the collectibles or whatever. You do change rigs throughout the game in some sections. It's like, oh, you need the snow rig because it's too cold outside. I just think they all look bad. Like, they're not ugly as hell, but they don't fit the... They fit the world fine, but I think that the Isaac Clarke's face in the first game, that helmet is so iconic. And two, tries to do it in a modern way, and it's okay. I think it definitely works. This one's just like, there's just lights on their faces. The pattern isn't interesting or anything. It just kind of bleh. which is lame. And on New Game Plus, which functions fine, I guess, you can do New Game Plus and then change the difficulty as well. So if you're just trying to grind out for all the upgrades or whatever, you can drop it down to easy. That's fine. Unskippable cutscenes. Sin. Into the sin bin. There's a lot of cutscenes. It's a lot of game time I'm spending doing nothing. Fuck you. That's stupid. I think on your first playthrough, I don't think cutscenes should be skippable. Hot take. I think they should be forced. But on repeat, they should definitely be skippable. It's just annoying. I'm probably gonna wrap up a few more things. I'm not hating it.
I would say first time viewing of a cutscene shouldn't be skippable, but like...
But if you die and then you have to reload, yes.
Right, playing Jedi Survivor, I've been skipping a lot of the introductory cutscenes to the boss that I'm dying to, so...
That's fair, yeah. There is a mode which I'm interested in. It's Classic Mode. And it removes the gunsmithing thing entirely. You have to just find regular weapons and play it like Dead Space 1 or 2. So that's cool. I'll probably try that. It wasn't very hard. It was just frustrating in some areas.
What difficulty did you play on?
I played on normal, and then my second playthrough was on easy.
Yeah.
I will probably try to do Impossible Mode, which is like the Mega Super Death one.
I assume there's an achievement for that.
Probably. I believe this is one of those ones where it deletes your save file if you die, though. That is something I don't like. I think you should have to start from the beginning, but I think just fucking your save file if you die, especially in a game like this that can be kind of buggy, I do think is bad. I don't like that. But I do want to kind of check it out on Classic, and I will play the co-op. I think once I finish it, I get as much of the stuff that I want to play through. I play the co-op stuff. I will probably never play it again. Total play time for one playthrough was about 12 hours, 12 to 15, somewhere in that neck of the woods. I don't know if it counts cutscene time. That's always confusing on how games count that. Second playthrough was probably 10 hours. So first playthrough is comparable, I think, to Dead Space 1-ish. And then second was more comparable to Dead Space 2 because I knew where I was going and I knew where all the secret rooms are and shit. It's not bad. It's just... the piece of whole wheat toast with butter. I'd rather have a bagel.
You know how much you got it for?
Oh, actually, that's funny. I forgot about that. I bought this digitally on the Xbox store for $4 because it was on some super mega ultra sale. So that value-wise was 100% worth it. It just, if I had bought this at launch for $60, I probably would be pretty disappointed. So I would say, like, if you're in a used game store and it's $5, $10, I feel like that's okay, but I really don't know if this was worth that much at launch. It's just meh. It's very meh. It's like, yeah, it's middle of the road in a lot of ways.
Well, moving on. We watched Mortal Kombat Legends Snowblind.
Kind of a banger.
Came out in 2022.
It takes place, I think, like 50 years after the events of the first two movies, after Shao Kahn has been defeated, and you follow Kenshi, the new protag, who is a dude. He's a guy who wants to defend the world and stuff, and he meets Sub-Zero and is like, please train me in your ways to be the defender of Earthrealm. And then he trains him to be the defender of Earthrealm. They kick some ass, and then Sub-Zero fucks off to another dimension because he's old and tired.
First thing we noticed was a new animation style, maybe?
Definitely a shift. I wouldn't say if it's a full new one, but it definitely has... I think it was done by a different animation studio, I believe.
I think it looks way better.
I don't know if I'd say way better. I think... I like both styles quite a lot. I think these movies do look pretty good, but I think the people look less weird in this one.
Yes. The second one looked a little muddy or clunky or something, and a lot of the action in this one felt really smooth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the faces definitely look better. Body proportions don't really matter in very silly things, but I do feel like the animations made more sense, I guess, in this one.
I think it felt kind of cheaper. Like, some of it looks like construction paper moving over construction paper, kind of.
Little.
But I like it a lot better. I think it looked a lot smoother. There was some weird mixture in the animation style, though. So, like, you'd have the construction paper moving, and then all of a sudden you'd have what looks like a completely different CG thing, like, come onto the screen, and it was like, what the... That, it just moved different, it had different coloring, it looked really weird.
It has anime problems, unironically. That's kind of where I'd put it.
Yeah.
I think the setting of this one's pretty cool. Basically, after all the events of the past, the world, Earth Realm, is like fallen to shit, and it's like feudal lords again. The main antagonist of the movie is Kano. He's all old and grizzled and still a dick. I just think it's more interesting.
I think it did itself a lot of favors by going 50 years into the future and doing something completely different. I think that was just a huge step up.
I think normally I don't love that as like a third entry. I like it when trilogies are more cohesive, but I don't think
this is actually a trilogy.
No, that's what I was gonna say. I think two is definitely a direct sequel to one, but I think two, it kind of Last Jedi's itself, where it ends the big, it kind of ends the conflict by the end of the movie, so it's like there's no real room for another one,
right?
Which I didn't love about that. It felt very rushed in Battle of the Realms. Or Battle for the Realms, or whatever the hell it was called. But I think in the situation that they had, I do think this was a really good idea. It also means that it just, the world looks different. There's a different aesthetic. There are different characters. It allows you to introduce a bunch of different characters from the series. I don't know the actual game lore that well, but I think this pulls a lot of stuff from the side games, from what I could gather, and probably 11, I think. Maybe. So it I think it was really cool for that. It feels like Mortal Kombat, and it does have a lot of Mortal Kombat characters, but it definitely felt less fan servicey. Not that I minded any of the fan service in the first two movies. I like when it's like, wow, look, it's the guy. I usually don't like that. I usually think that that's bullshit, but I don't know. It's a dumb fighting game movie.
Right.
That's fine.
And it's fun.
Yeah, but I think this one was a lot more, it felt more like a real story. It felt a little more, not effortful necessarily, but like they actually wanted to tell a story about something other than going through the motions of like, wow, look, Scorpion's mad because family dead.
They changed the x-ray shots or x-ray kills or whatever, and I liked it. You didn't. I argue that these new brutalities, I guess, are more visceral. Like, they're ripping spines out of backs, and you see just the effects of that, and I thought it made the movie more cohesive instead of slow-mo, very high contrast colors where you can see like the bones being ripped from the skeleton. I don't know, I like the change.
I have mixed feelings on it. I think it looks really good. I think it fits in more with the presentation, because it's not...
You have Snyder brains. You like the slow-mo shots.
Yes, but I think it's because in the first two movies, it feels more gamey. Because that's what the games quite frequently do. They do the you can, oh my gosh, look at you, just shattered his kneecap, holy fucking shit, which is fine in a video game, but I think it definitely fucks with the pacing of fights.
Right.
And I do think that this flows better when it's like, it just shows you them ripping the spine out in the same animation style, they just do it. I think I've come around on it the more I thought about it. I like the flash of it in the other ones. I think maybe in the tournament setting, I think it's cool because it, the tournament setting is already artificial, so you can fuck with the fights however you kind of want. It already feels like a playbook, like a play set. But I think in this, where it's more like a story, I do think it works better for the movie. The music in this one was also really good. It stood out quite a lot. They didn't use the Mortal Kombat theme as much, but it was good. I liked the music was work. It did good music thing. It didn't feel like stock direct to VOD animation music.
The further we go into these, the more I cringe and roll my eyes when Scorpion says, get over here. It's like, ugh, come on. Like, you don't have to say it every time.
Which is funny because you're more of a Mortal Kombat fan than I am, I think.
I don't know. Maybe it's just camp that isn't hitting me. I'm not in the mood for it, but I don't know.
It might just be because we're doing so much of it next to each other, too. On the bright side, the fourth one is a prequel that's only about Johnny Cage.
I'm very excited for that.
I have no clue what reception it got. I only saw the poster. I didn't see a trailer for it. It just dropped out of nowhere. And also, Johnny Cage is going to be in the second live-action one, played by Carl Urban, so that's cool.
That's even more exciting.
What did you play, my good sir?
Resident Evil 3 Nemesis was originally released in September of 1999 for the PlayStation 1, PC, Sega Dreamcast, and the Nintendo GameCube.
I love the GameCube.
The Resident Evil 3 Remake was first released in 2020 and is available for the PlayStation 4, 5, Xbox One, and Series PC, Amazon Luna, I don't know what that is, and a cloud version is available on the Switch.
I didn't know that 3 originally had a subtitle.
Yes. Huh. I don't think it actually has a number. I think it's Resident Evil Nemesis.
Weird.
I think.
I love learning things from you. You're so smart. It
was developed and published by Capcom. The story. The story starts with Jill Valentine moping around her apartment when suddenly she's attacked by the Nemesis. He chases her through the apartment building, literally breaking through walls and floors, until she finally loses him outside. She finds some STARS operatives that need their train turned on from the train office. They're like, we're on the train, but the train's not running. It's been derailed or whatever. It's been shut down. So you gotta go to the office and turn it on. So Jill volunteers to find the computer that turns the train on. She makes her way through town, solving a few, like, two or three puzzles, and on her way back to the train is attacked by Nemesis again.
Am I stupid and don't remember? Is the Nemesis a character that was introduced into, or is this new?
New.
Okay, it's new. I'm just dumb.
This time he pulls a rocket launcher out of his ass, but it's okay. His launcher has a laser pointer on it, so Jill has a warning of which way to duck at the last second.
Oof.
After the town part of the game, the story progresses onto the police station we are so familiar with from the second game.
Whoa.
It turns out when you are in the police station in 3, it is very shortly before Leon runs through it in 2. While here, you, the player, are controlling Carlos, Jill's newly found STARS friend. Playing as Carlos feels different because he has an assault rifle, not a small pistol like Jill. More on this later, but for now, Carlos needed some info from the STARS PC in the police station.
I didn't realize that these games were set so close together.
Meanwhile, Jill has another boss fight with the Nemesis. This time he's starting to evolve and is behaving more like an animal, running on all fours and climbing a tower like King Kong. At the end of the fight, he infects her with the T-virus or some other virus. I don't remember. One of the viruses. Carlos finds her, drags her to the local hospital where he finds an antidote for her.
What a coinkydink.
While Jill was out, the U.S. government announces that it's going to nuke Raccoon City because it is so overrun with zombies. After getting the antidote, Jill wakes up shortly before the nuke. It turns out there's an umbrella lab under the hospital. Here, Jill makes a vaccine for the zombie virus, but encounters Nemesis one last time. And, in fact, I think I missed one where he has a flamethrower. Nemesis has evolved to be the size of a room. He's just a big pile of sludge.
I think I saw you doing that fight on stream,
So Jill uses a railgun that's conveniently in the same room to finally kill him dead. After this, she encounters the actual villain of the story on the roof. I don't remember his name. This part was so underbaked. Where they struggle, all in a cutscene. The vaccine is destroyed, and Jill flies away in a helicopter seconds before the nuke destroys the town, trying to figure out how she's going to make a vaccine again. The visuals are mostly the same as the other recent games. Resident Evil 2 Remake, RE7, Resident Evil 7, Resident Evil 8, because they all use the same engine. However, while I'm on a bad entry in the series, I'm going to add to the hate boner, because I remembered while playing this game that the engine isn't perfect. Fire physics are kind of ass. The animation looks wonky, almost like that one animation is running at a different frame rate than the rest of the game. It's blocky and it moves weird. It's kind of slow. When playing Resident Evil games, I usually take my time and try to move tactfully. I have found that if there is an enemy, say at the end of a long hallway, that enemy is definitely moving at a different frame rate. My educated guess is that there's some sort of method to the game loading the world in and out at a certain distance from the player, so when there's a long distance, like that hallway, that enemy is sort of in limbo to give the engine stronger computing power for things close to the player to make it look pretty. While cool, it makes most of these games run and look really good. It's not very good when you get glimpses under the hood like that. There's specifically one hallway in the police station that has a window that zombies break through and kind of hang out there. It's close to a safe room.
And it looks like doo-doo.
Yeah, when they break through and when they're pacing around at the end of that hallway, they're moving so slowly that it's impossible to shoot them accurately. Otherwise, it's standard RE engine fare. Nemesis looks grisly and cool, kind of like a sick version of a Terminator. Levels look good and load in well. I rarely, if ever, had any pop-in. Sound design, I cheated and wrote ditto. Like, it's the same fare. Guns sound different and cool. Zombies sound sick and cool. Yeah, you get a lot of warnings about like what's in a room when you just stop and listen. Gameplay.
Ugh. Oh boy.
When I wrote out my recap of the story, I had to make notes about the gameplay so I could keep these sections different. I used like that notes feature in like the Google Docs to have like a sidebar of thoughts. My complaints start from the very beginning. The game opens with a very basic difficulty select and then jumps straight into the game. There's no character select, there's no minor options like subtitles, nothing. It was very jarring. Nemesis attacks Jill in her apartment for no reason. Nemesis's actions are piss poorly explained, if ever at all. Most of the chase scenes, especially the opening one, is 90% holding the stick forward and watching Jill stumble towards the escape. While they aren't technically a QTE, a quick time event, they might as well have been. It would have been more enjoyable to have a nice looking cutscene. Nemesis literally just growls stars. Like, that's his motivation, is like he kills stars.
What
people
the fuck.
The town map in the OG Resident Evil 3 was gigantic. It took a couple hours to play through. The version of it in this game is extremely small. Literally two sections of street with a small connector in between. Having played through it once, I could probably run through that section in, I don't know, a half an hour now. When Jill gets the train going and is trying to return to it, Nemesis attacks with his rocket launcher. There is so much bullshit in this section. Nemesis can jump crazy heights and lengths to block Jill's way. It feels like the developers made this possible in this one section to slow down Jill's progress. It feels like the worst kind of padding. It's literally just a fuck you. You can't go this way. Take the long way.
Jeez.
It felt like there wasn't a good reason to go back to the police station, unlike in the original. OG Resident Evil 3 was slightly confusing at a slightly confusing addition because it is PD before the events of 2 and logically adds to the story, like how walls are destroyed. You see the destruction in 2, but in 3 you can see that it's literally Nemesis walking through it, chasing you through the wall.
So did you play the original version
No.
recently, or are you just
I did a lot of research to okay. find out
why weird.
I'll get to that.
Okay.
Remake, the police department is a very cheap copy. Remake, this section is a very cheap copy of the original 3 for, like, no reason. It doesn't add much to the story really at all. It's just wasted time. It's very frustrating playing as Carlos because the enemy count is clearly, like, tripled, almost certainly because of his assault rifle. This makes playing with a higher powered weapon feel like even slower progression because there are more roadblocks. It's just padding. It's bad game design. The Nemesis fights are annoying. I felt annoyed every time he popped up, not scared. The flamethrower boss fight is literally just running circles on a rooftop and shoot him until he dies. In the next fight, where he's King Kong, there's a gimmick to it. I had to do this like 2 or 3 times because I didn't know what the gimmick was. I knew there was something that I was missing because he kept doing the same animations, but I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do. The final fight was super easy. The game literally explains what to do a couple different times. There's notes that you pick up or whatever, and it makes what should be the climactic fight feel like a fart.
Oof.
At the end of the game, you get the customary rating on how you did, and then you're brought to the main menu. Depending on how many challenges you completed, what difficulty you played on, how good of a rating you got, and a bunch of other things, you get points you can spend in the store in the menu to unlock alternate costumes, weapons, and other things. Obviously, this encourages replays. I didn't even spend the points I earned. I just immediately uninstalled and downloaded OG4 because that's my next review.
Wow.
I would rather run through 2 again than try to do anything memorable in this game.
Dang. Are you interested in playing the original version of 3 to see the differences? Because it sounds like it... I think I might have heard something about this being, like, lower budget than the 2 remake or something, and that's why they had to trim out so much or whatever. Like, are you interested in going to see what, like, the birth of differences between the 2 versions?
I'm kind of curious, but it has that feeling that it's an old school game, so I worry that I'd be unable to play it. Like, just to be blunt, like, I struggled with the RE1 remake or remaster because it plays like an old school game. There's old school logic to it and things, so I don't know how well I would do at it, but it was really, really interesting watching just straight playthroughs of the OG3 just to see what was different. In closing, I played this remake with no experience with Nemesis with 3 at all. I didn't know anything about the story, the characters, the reviews, nothing. I knew that the fan base panned this one, and that was it. I didn't know why. After completing the game, I couldn't easily put to words what I felt. I just knew that it felt hollow. It was missing the sauce. And
is that a Spencer reference to last month? Holy shit.
No, that's how I felt. It was missing the sauce. But I couldn't explain, like, what kind of sauce. If it was spaghetti sauce or chocolate sauce. Like, I don't know what it's missing, but it's clearly missing something. I then did a bunch of research and I found out that this game is extremely hollow. It's embarrassing how much the original game outshines this one 20 years later. Almost everything in this remake was cut very short, excluded, and or neglected. Before my research, I felt annoyed at having played kind of a boring game, and after my research, I was upset that I had given my money to the Kmart special pirated copy of Resident Evil 2.
Oof. Youch.
I got this game for $15, and I don't know if I'll ever play it again.
Dang. That's rough. Do you guys remember Kmart? Are you old enough for that?
There's...
Do we have listeners? And are our listeners old enough to know what Kmart is? What about Sears?
Remember the Sears catalog?
Yeah.
That bitch was fat.
It was kind of boring because it's mostly appliances, but yeah.
And a lot of tools, too. Like,
yeah, I wasn't
into...
Do
you need a wrench?
I wasn't into that shit yet.
What size wrench do you need?
Correction, I'm still not into that shit.
There's 6 pages of wrenches.
And that's just the Craftsman ones.
There were so many things. Like... My review doesn't cover, like, what's different between the two. It was cool doing all the research to find out, like, how cool the original 3 was. Fans love fighting Nemesis in the original. Like, he's a fun design, and he's horrifying and cool. There's, like, choices that you can make in certain areas. It wasn't great. It wasn't a good... choice system, but it still kind of added to the game. Like, there's one time Nemesis pops up and it's like, are you gonna stay and fight him, or are you gonna run away from him and into the police department where it's safe? He chases you through the police department in the original, and he doesn't in the remake at all.
That definitely smells like budget.
Yeah.
Oof.
So like I was saying, in the original games, there's a wall in the bathroom that there's a hole in it. In the wall in the second one, and then in the third one you find out it's because he breaks through the wall and is chasing you. And then in this one, in the 3 remake, you just put a block of C4 up to the wall and blow it.
Wow.
Like,
that's lame.
It's so lame.
Weird. Dang, that sucks. So you had more fun researching it than you did playing it.
Yep.
That's not a good sign. My condolences. What are you playing next month?
OG4. OG as in, like, the ported version of the original 4.
Because you're playing on PC, right?
PlayStation.
Ah.
Apparently there's 5 chapters, and I'm halfway through the second chapter right now, so doing good.
Nice.
Yesterday when I streamed, I feel that I'm pretty close to where I left off the only time I've played it. I have, like, 1 boss fight left, and then I think that's really where I left off, so...
Dang.
I've saved Ashley.
That's some solid progress.
Eat.
Next month, I am going to be talking about Alan Wake and Alan Wake Remaster, because
ooh.
I am an idiot and I keep doing this to myself where I want to compare the 2 games, which means I have to do double the work, half the conversation.
Yeah.
No clue what other thing we're going to talk about next month. We'll figure that one out when we get to that bridge.
I kind of feel like I should take a break in between the 2 4s, but I don't know what to do it with.
We can talk about that. We can sort something out.
And I've made good progress on OG4 while playing Armored Core 6 and Jedi Survivor. So
you've always been really good at multitasking.
I don't know how.
You do it with books, you do it with comics, you do it with life, and you do it with video games. And I'm like very single mode. I can do like 2 things at once.
It's like based on vibes. It's like I don't feel like being scared and shooting zombies. I feel like being in space
with a sword.
Yeah.
And a robot. Robot doggy.
It's like I'll have a hard game and an easy game, so if I don't feel like getting my ass kicked, I'll just chill with the easy game. Like,
that's fair.
Or like books have their place. I have one next to my bed, I have one at work.
Yeah.
I have one at the couch.
That makes sense.
That's how I do it.
Yeah,
that's my secret. I stream very infrequently It's whenever I can and feel like it.
And it's usually the middle of the night.
Usually, I'll start a stream at like midnight and go until 3 in the morning. It's cool! You should watch and listen. I don't have a camera, so you can't see me scratching my balls as I play video games, but you can see what I'm doing in the game, and you can hear more of my annoying voice if you go over to Twitch and search for HMMurdoch, HMMURD0CH, because I'm cool. I do zeros instead of O's.
Amazing.
I know. I'm cool.
So cool.
You will know it's me because the logo is custom made by Colin, man. Because
he's cool like that.
And it looks cool.
So good.
And Spencer will probably start linking it in the DGB.
Yeah.
Bios or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I'll start putting it in the descriptions as long as you remember to post a story or something whenever you go live. Mr. I have access to the Instagram for trolling purposes. Also, a big thank you to our supporters on Patreon, patreon.com/DimeComicBrosNetwork. Caitlin and Jeff Lorenz give us a hand with the financials of this whole shebang. They're greatly, greatly appreciated members of our community because we actually know who they are in real life.
Caitlin is definitely old enough to remember Kmart and Sears. I don't know if Jeff does.
I feel like he would say he does, but he might be lying.
Like, he probably walked through it a couple times as, like, a little kid, but it's probably, like, in his memory as, like, just another store.
Yeah.
Like, there was
like nothing... Like me.
Yeah, there's nothing there to make it, like, oh, this is Kmart.
Right. They get a whole bunch of cool stuff over on Patreon, including access to a bunch of cool stickers, bookmarks that Colin designed, which are really freaking awesome, exclusive access to happy hour segments, where after most of our podcasts, we crack open a beer, talk about random bullshit. Sometimes it's work, sometimes it's life, sometimes it's podcast stuff. You never know. Lots of goofy goober stuff. And they also get early access to all of our podcasts, most of the time, by a few days, and just other cool stuff. Commissions by Colin. There's a whole spread of plans. If you want to support us, we'd greatly appreciate it. Thank you to our partners at Jetpack Comics and Games in downtown Rochester, New Hampshire. Try to shop local whenever you can. If you're not going to go to Pirate Bay for your video games, shop at your local game store.
That's been a great meme this week. The head loser at Ubisoft was like, get used to not owning your games. And then everybody's response has been like, well, it's not piracy if I don't own it. Fuck you.
It's true.
It's great. I love it.
Yes. We have become Colin. Yeah, try to shop local when you can. They're a wonderful comic shop that we shop at a lot to buy our comics. And they have lots of other stuff, like tabletop games, cards, all sorts of fun things, and video games. And they have a pinball machine and a Marvel versus Capcom fighting machine, which constantly screams from the corner of the building.
I don't know how they live with it.
I think the last time I was in it, they turned it off.
Nice!